Test amplitude. Generation. Use 10,000 hertz. Yes, 5.
Okay. Let's see if this thing is working. Into IRJ, WB4AIO.
The thing is working. I've been playing around with settings, and I'm almost pretty nice. Haven't done the upper sideband ones yet, but the day will come. You're sounding nice yourself.
Ah, very good. Well, you can't do upper sideband settings on this frequency, nor can you do AM settings on this frequency, because we're too close to the edge of the band. N2IRJ, WB4AIO, in the Allegheny Mountains of Western Pennsylvania.
Yes, I do comprehend that drift. By going beyond four smashing megacycles of fun, if I were doing upper side bend, which I am not, and thanks to my steep slopes and low drive, I'm not going over four even on my local passband. So by the time it goes DX, there should be nothing above the 4.0 barrier. And if my voice seems a little bit off, it's simply because of about 3 days of lack of sleep, but I can feel that it's coming soon. The God Morpheus, N2IRJ.
Very good. Well, your voice does sound a little bit off. You sound fatigued, like you have a slight raggedness in your throat. But I can tell that's just a physical phenomenon. The audio coming from your station sounds good, so I don't hear any of the LA effect, and I don't hear any other negative effects whatsoever. Your signal is it's varying. This time of day, the signal, the propagation usually changes a lot. But it's varying between about a 7 dB over S9 and a 20 dB over S9. And I do have line noise. The last few days I've had a terrible line noise here at the AIO laboratories. Something to do with the Pennsylvania Electric Company not maintaining their lines properly. But you are, even when your signal is at its worst, you are still well over the line noise, so it's really no problem. It's just a slight annoyance. And you probably heard my pulsing tones in there. That was just tuning up on this frequency because I had been tuned up down in the AM window. And being 100 kilohertz away, that's pretty far off resonance for the Clipperton LSD. So now it seems to be peaked up just perfectly in this part of the band. And yay, the SWR is quite low, so the tuner is adjusted properly, as well as the amplifier. So there you have it. My voice probably isn't quite up to snuff because I just woke up. I set an alarm to wake myself up so I could run this test with you. And I guess I'm sort of awake. And to Italy Riddly Jiddly, this is WB4AIO.
Well, as the phrase goes, that's mighty white of you. I am pleased that you are able to distinguish between a tired voice and radio's audio. I wouldn't want you to unfairly criticize and say that I've cranked in too much bass. And we can try various bandwidths, might have to QSY a little because of the near 4KC crap. But here's what I want to do first, even before we try other bandwidths. Let me do this. Let me put on ESC, which it's not on now, and transmit. Find out if Louis Armstrong returns. If he does not, I will immediately save this database, then come back to you again. If Louis Armstrong is still gone, then I will know that I have a good capture. Oh, speaking of capturing, it's always nice to have a nice girl on your side. Let's try Ishay.
Into IRJ.
Now, how does that sound compared to the old one? Over.
Well, in this particular case, it sounds like your speakers are up pretty loud, because the speaker to mic one was sort of apparent. The room ambiance was very apparent. So I will say, though, that the new one does not have that rumble on her second syllable. There was on the old one, there was a slight breath rumble on her second syllable that was sometimes audible. But in this case, I did not hear that at all. WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus.
Once again, your stellar golden ear has exposed me, but in a good way. I have now eliminated the background, so you will be able to tell me the difference. And here's an extra treat, too. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds of your voice, so you might be able to hear how you're grazing the airwaves. And I'll say this, I think I made another discovery, could be wrong, but I'll test it here right now. And that is, you told me that when you're playing recording that the microphone is disabled, but I could have sworn the other day, unless there was a malfunction, that my voice could superimpose. So here's what I'll do, I'll play you back, about 10 seconds worth, and then I will say maybe like 123 N2IRJ, and we'll find out if it superimposes. Here goes. N2IRJ, superimposing test.
I did not hear myself, so you must not have played me.
That doesn't sound like your voice. Let me stop transmitting. Over.
You were not transmitting anything. There was no recording. There was nothing.
That's really weird. I did hit the record button. Let's try again. You come back to me and I'll record you.
Okay. N2IRJ, this is WB4AIO. I'm looking at the compander meter and my audio levels are correct. I'm transmitting in the 4 kilocycle bandwidth. So I assume that you're receiving in the same bandwidth, and the frequency was perfectly clear when we came on here, but there does seem to be a station that's about maybe 3KC down from us now, but it's far weaker than you are, so it's not really a factor. So that's the transmission from AIO Laboratories into Italy, Riddly Jiddly, WB4, Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus. That's AIO.
Speaking of AIO, I came across one sort of like maybe a WD9 AIO. I was wondering if you wanted me to save that. I have it on a recording somewhere. I have to sort through it to find it, but it's a little bit weak. And, of course, it's very easy for me to just go 5KC. No, 4, let's see, no, no, 9. Oh, let me think. It's 39.90, so yeah. If I go down 9KC every day on the Rooster Net, I can hear KA3IRJ, my quasi-namesake. Here goes your voice, and I will try to superimpose my own and find out if it is possible to overtalk the recording. Here goes.
Okay. QIIJ, this is WD4AU. I'm looking at the commander meter, and my audio levels are correct. I'm transmitting in the 4 kilocyclic bandwidth, so I assume that you're receiving in the same bandwidth, and the frequency was perfectly clear when we came on here, but there does seem to be a station that's about maybe 3 KC down from us now, but it's far weaker than you are, so it's not really a factor. So that's the transmission from AIO Laboratories and to Italy, Riddly Jiddly, WB4, Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus. That's AIO.
Before you come back, I want you to look at your S meter. Right now it should have increased. I didn't have power on. I'd like to play you back yourself with power next time. Over.
Okay, what do you mean you didn't have power on? I'm not sure what that means. You didn't have the Henry on?
I didn't have the Ameritron on. Henry was on, but the drive was so low, it was staying at zero, so maybe I was putting out 100 watts or something. Here, I'll now play you back, this time with the help of the chain.
Okay, N2IRJ, this is WB4AIO. I'm looking at the commander meter, and my audio levels are correct. I'm transmitting in the 4 kilocycle bandwidth, so I assume you're receiving in the same bandwidth. And the frequency was perfectly clear when we came on here. It does seem to be a station that's about maybe 3 KC down from us now, but it's far weaker than you are, so it's not really a factor. So that's the transmission from AIO Laboratories and to Italy, Riddly Jiddly, WB4, Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus. That's AIO. Okay. I heard it both times reasonably well, even the one that was at the lower power level. And you're not superimposing anything. It's when you're playing that recording, it's just my voice. You may be able to hear your own voice in your headphones because you're listening to the mixer. But when you're transmitting that quick recording, which is what they call it in Power SDR, the quick recording, it disconnects the external audio chain, and the only thing that is transmitted is the recording, nothing else. Over.
Fine, Biz, on the quick recording. And I do appreciate your educating me on the nomenclature. And yeah, that was the deception. I heard myself back and I thought, aha, Kevin was wrong. I really am going over there. I should have known not to question authority. Well, I am now transmitting with receiver 2 on. Has Louis Armstrong returned? Over.
Well, listen to this and you'll know.
Has Louis Armstrong returned? Over.
So there you go. Louis Armstrong has not returned.
Then let me immediately export this database, and I'll be right back.
N2IRJ will return after this word from our sponsors. This portion of N2IRJ is brought to you by Lucky Strikes. Remember, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, LSMFT. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw, and they are mild.
Okay, the good news is it's stuck. I now have a database that can be trusted. I'm talking to you again. If Louis Armstrong has not returned, then we are more in business than we have been in the past. This is N2IRJ from Jackson, New Jersey, on Wednesday, September 17th, 2014, at 6:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, okay, I made a recording of that, and I will let you hear how you sound on the SDR-1000. Here it is.
It can be trusted. I'm talking to you again. If Louis Armstrong has not returned, then we are more in business than we have been in the past. This is N2IRJ from Jackson, New Jersey, on Wednesday, September 17th, 2014, at 6:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, there you go. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
You now have my permission to critically acclaim or disavow the new settings, which approximate where you had them before. I have less shrillness, I have more bass, and I even have a different setting in terms of reverberation. Instead of that, it's now plate. Don't know if you noticed, it's very subtle, but it's detectable on the Audacity recording, the local. Over.
Yeah, well, it still is an effective signal, but the increased low end is most welcome, and it sounds clean. And it still has plenty of average power, as far as I can tell, to my ears and to the robustness of the signal on the S-meter. The sound of it has it sounds like it has a good amount of average power, and yet it's not over-processed. And I think the reverb is better than the other setting. It's it is subtle, but it just seems like a very, very a nice... I don't know how to describe it, but you know how reverb sounds. It just is a very nice repeat at a low level of your last syllable. It sounds like WPGC. So what you should do is leave the settings as they are, but when you come back to me, say, "This is Bob Raleigh with another WPGC sound off."
This is Bob Raleigh with another WPGC sound off.
Yeah, there you go. It's Raleigh, not Riley, though. Bob Raleigh was the guy who did the sound-offs on PGC when I worked there.
Clarification. I do not have reverberation on now. I have plate. This is different than what I used to use. Are you saying that this is better, or did you like the old version?
This is definitely better. This sounds nicer. And plate is a kind of reverb. It is reverb, but it's a... Plate was a type of reverb that I believe was developed by EMT in Germany. And EMT made the large plate reverb. It was a metal plate. A transducer was attached to a metal plate. And it was excited by the dry audio. And then they had another transducer, I believe, at the other end of the metal plate. And that would, the sound would... travel up and down, back and forth on the metal plate, and it would create a reverberation effect, and you could mix that back in with the original audio. And because it utilized a metal plate, that's why it's called a plate reverb. The plate was rather large to get a good sound. The plate that reverb was in the back of the transmitters at WPGC. That's where they put the plate reverb, but it was a large wooden box about... about 5 feet tall and about 6 feet long and maybe a 1 foot deep. And that contained the plate and the electronics. And that sat behind the transmitters at WPGC and was hooked up with XLR cables into the audio chain. And that was how WPGC got their, well, it was one of the secrets as to how WPGC got their amazing sound. Over.
Good old WPGC, a part of my life when I used to go out with the Bun Sisters, all those girls crammed into a van with me, and then we would sleep on the floor overnight in the front room, all of us, and you could have the vague scent of girl floweriness in the air. Oh, I was punished so into IRJ.
I don't know, it doesn't sound like punishment to me. But yeah, that's WPGC. Do you know what PGC stood for?
Into IRJ.
I most certainly do. Prince George's County.
Very good. And do you know what they ID'd as at the top of the hour?
You know, if you say, I might recall, but at the moment I don't.
It was this tiny little village in Prince George's County that was their actual city of license. So that's a clue. They were, even though they served the Washington, D.C. area, they identified with this tiny little village which was their actual city of license, a tiny town in Prince George's County. Does that bring it to mind?
Was it Annie Arundel?
Nope, that's not it.
Do you have permission to enlighten?
It was Morningside, Maryland, they would say. WPGC Morningside.
Well, at the moment, I don't exactly remember it. It's maybe a little familiar. No doubt I heard it plenty of times. I woke up to them after the sleepovers. When I was a little kid, my father made up the name Martin Morningstar. An Indian name that I could use. So it's a little bit similar to that. Over.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Well, anyway, when I worked at WPGC, I would drive every day to the transmitters. You know, I never saw... It was sort of a very lightly developed area at that time of Prince George's County. I don't know what it's like now. This is back in the 70s. But it was not heavily developed. There were some houses in the neighborhood, but they were not close together. And there were a few farmers' fields even that you could drive by as you went by on the main road there. But I never saw any sign anywhere saying you are now entering or leaving Morningside. I never saw anything like the Morningside Pharmacy or the Morningside Restaurant. I never saw a single indication that Morningside even existed, but I did find it on some old maps. So I guess it was a tiny village, and when 1580 AM and later 95.5 FM were licensed, they were licensed to the community of Morningside. But of course, the money was in Washington, and luckily Morningside was only a few miles from Washington, and they had a killer signal with 10 kilowatts of AM and eventually later 50 kilowatts of FM. So they were simulcast back in the days when you were totally allowed to simulcast. It was just straight simulcast. AM and FM carried exactly the same programming.
Oh, you mean it's no longer legal to simulcast?
Well, I haven't kept up with the rules, but there were a number of years later they made some rule where you had to have a certain amount of unique programming on the AM and FM. So then after that point you couldn't simulcast. But I think that maybe WPGC I think they still retained the call sign, but by that time I think there was some garbagey Afro-American format on there. So that, to me, that doesn't really count as WPGC anymore.
Into IRJ, Jax, New Jersey. Interesting, interesting, I say. I also say that I tried doing the math last night, but I was so tired that I couldn't think straight. And the math is this. How does one determine that S9 is equal to 73 dBm? I used Ohm's law, the power equation, and all that, and I was coming up with something like 0.00001. And I just, like I said, was too tired to even think it through. Maybe it's by definition or something, an evolution. And, you know, I'm thinking it might come out to be something, not exactly 73, like maybe 73.145 or something. And I'd like to know exactly what it is mathematically. I am a purist, you know. It's sort of like the impedance of free space. What does that turn out to be? 377 ohms per square, according to Vic. But if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, let me see, I think, sure, let me do the math on this calculator. It would really be, 1 second, 1, 5, 9, 2, 6, 5, 3, 5, 8, 9, 9, 3, 2, 3, 8, 4, 6, 2, 6, 4, 3, 3, 1. Not close enough to government work. Let me think here. Times 2 times 120 equals, let's see, I meant to say 160 divided by 2. I just screwed it up. Oh my. Since this isn't on the air check, you'll forgive me. 3.14159, I'll make it simpler. Times 2 equals times here's what it comes out to be. Without enough decimal places, the first time I would have given you about 25 decimal places, but it's really 376.9908, the impedance of free space. That's close enough to 377, but that's what I'm getting at with this 73 dB equaling S9. I would like to know exactly, and mainly the process of thought. That's the most important thing. Engineers don't generally memorize per se. They understand concepts so that they can always go back and rediscover the number. For example, right here with the impedance thing, you know, as you know, I had to suffer through Maxwell's equations and all that happy stuff, two terms worth, 4 credits each. And I don't remember all the preceding stuff, but at the last line right before you get this number is something to the effect that I believe 2 pi times 120, something like that, and that's how you end up with the 376.9908. N2IRJ.
Yeah, okay, N2IRJ, WB4AIO. Yeah, that's why I made my open wire line the precise wire diameter and spacing so that it matches 377 ohms, because if you match 377 ohms, the impedance of free space, you don't need an antenna. You just run the feed line outside to a point a reasonable distance from the house to minimize losses, and a reasonable distance up in the air to minimize ground losses. Guess you get it up in, you know, at least 30 feet or 60 feet is better, but to minimize ground losses. But if you match 377 ohms, you don't need an antenna. You just leave the wire unterminated, and it matches to free space, and you have the probably better than any antenna you could ever want. It works perfectly.
Yeah, I used to think there might be something magical about respecting 377 in terms of my lateral line spacing. But according to Vic, that is false. If you get your lateral line to be up at 1,000 ohms, that's all the better. Less loss.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends on other factors, too. It's not as simple as that, but in general, that's true. As far as it's not 73 dBm and it's not 73 dB, it's minus 73 dBm. In other words, 73 decibels below 1 milliwatt. And it's very simple to, the thought process is really quite simple. I mean, think about it. Think about 50 ohms. You have a 50 ohm load, okay? And you're feeding a milliwatt into a 50 ohm load. 1 milliwatt. Well, there's some voltage. I don't know what the voltage is, but you could easily figure it out with Ohm's law. There's some voltage that would produce 1 milliwatt into 50 ohms. Well, you just reduce the voltage proportionately until you get down to, from whatever it is to make a milliwatt, to whatever it is to 50 microvolts. And that would be minus 73 dBm. Now, if you know the initial voltage that gives you a milliwatt with Ohm's law, a milliwatt into 50 ohms, all you have to do is figure out what that power is. It's 1 milliwatt. You know that. And so 0.1 milliwatts would be minus 10 dBm. Minus 20 dBm would be 0.01 milliwatts. Minus 30 dBm would be 0.001 milliwatts, etc. And you just go down until you get to minus 70 dBm. And at that point, you divide the power in half, and that's 3 dBm below minus 70 dBm, so that would be minus 73 dBm. And whatever voltage that is, you just figure it out with Ohm's law, but whatever voltage that is that would produce minus 73 dBm into a 50-ohm load, should be very, very close. I don't know if it's exact, but it should be very, very close to 50 microvolts. So that's the thought process. It's just a number of decibels below 1 milliwatt. And in this particular case, we're dealing with a 50-ohm system, so it's that amount of power into a 50-ohm load. So there's the thought process, and you should be able to do it with a calculator fairly easily. WB4AIO. In fact, the easy way to do it is just because we know it's been, I don't think these guys are lying, we know it's, 50 microvolts, just do Ohm's law. What is it? E squared divided by R. So, 50 microvolts squared divided by 50, and that's the power.
Okay, I was doing it, but it didn't come out. Let me try again. 50 times 50 equals, and if you divide by 50 again, you're going to just get back the 50, I presume. That's exactly it. It comes out 50.
Marty, it's not 50 watts. It's not 50 volts. It's not 50 volts. It's 50 microvolts. So it has to be 0.0000005, whatever it is, to be 50 microvolts. 50 times 10 to the negative 6th squared.
Okay, I did do that, and this looks like one of the numbers I came up with in the middle of the night, which I'm not seeing any meaning of, and it's, can I put this in scientific notation? I'll count the zeros. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and the 13th digit is a 5, so, I hit CE. I guess that's clear. I thought C was clear. I thought there was some way to put this in scientific notation. I guess that would have been whatever number I said, times 10 to the minus 13th power, over?
Yeah, and so what you do is you take that 50 microvolts squared, whatever that number is, and then you divide it by 50, and that's the amount of power that is 73 decibels below 1 milliwatt.
Okay, I've come up with it again. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So it's 5 times 10 to the minus 13th power. So what do I do with this number?
Well, you don't do anything with it. Now you know what amount of power is equivalent to 73 dB below 1 milliwatt.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to derive is the number 73. And 88 to you while we're speaking of that subject, but how do I find 73? Or is that some kind of given?
No, you just need to know. I don't know. I doubt that your calculator has a dB function, so you can't do that. You would need a calculator that gives you decibels to get that. I doubt that you have that. Or I guess you could go through the formula for deriving decibels, which is, I don't know, what is it, 20 log something? I forget now, but I could look it up.
I just tried inverse log, and that didn't work. Maybe I should have hit log.
Well, it's not just log. A decibel is not a log. It's a function that involves a log.
Oh, 20 dB up front multiplied by it or something. Yeah, we could look that up. And yeah, one day let's do that, and I'd like to learn and remember it, because I'm going to blow people's minds on the Liberty Net when some cold winter nights I can honestly proclaim, oh yeah, my noise floor is not zero. It's -1 S units. Ha, ha, ha. Man, I am so pleased. Last night I told you I broke an all-time record. I had actually a little bit over 70 decibels signal to noise ratio. I was getting 20, a little more than 20 over, like 22 over on CW with 25 hertz bandwidth. And my noise floor was zero. And there have been times where it actually went to a -1. That's beautiful. I've seen, the equivalent is whatever it comes out to be is pretty close. It's -134 dBm. -134 dBm. I mean, that is so sweet. And it's been here all along. My beverage wasn't perfectly working until the other day when I fixed that. And yeah, it improved me by honest 1.5 S units getting the beverage fixed. But I still had this low-level grating noise. And when I finally eliminated that crap from the basement, my modem from the cable TV, my God, what a new world of purity. When you come out here, you will fall in love. N2IRJ.
That's great. There's an online milliwatt to dBm conversion calculator. That's probably the easy way to do it if you really want to do that. Here's the formula for converting milliwatt to dBm. The power in dBm equals 10 times the log 10 parentheses power in milliwatts over 1 milliwatt close parentheses. So that's the formula, but there's an online calculator for doing it.
I jotted that down ever so briefly, so it's 10 times the log of base 10, and all of that by the quantity of the power in milliwatts divided by 1 milliwatt. I'm assuming that's all in parentheses. In other words, it's not just the numerator in parentheses, right? Over?
That's correct. The whole fraction is inside parentheses. So it's the logarithm of that fraction.
Well, I could play with that, I suppose. So if I put in the numerator there, the power in milliwatts, what power is that? Is that the power that we figured out before? Was that... I divide it by 1 milliwatt. Oh, I see. It's referenced to 1 milliwatt. And then we do 10 log 10 of it.
Okay, here is your answer. The milliwatts is point, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 zeros, 5. So it's point, 7, point, and then 7 zeros, and then a 5 milliwatts. Equals -73.01 dBm.
I was coming up with that number in the night, as you remember. A bunch of zeros and a five. Seven zeros, you say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 zeros. Let me double check here. I'm seeing double 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Another zero. And then a 7? No, a 5. That's it, a 5. So the five is actually in the eighth place after the decimal point. Over.
That's correct, and that's actually the number of milliwatts that is equivalent to, I suppose, 50 microvolts into 50 ohms. That you should be able to confirm that just with Ohm's law. But anyway, there you go. That's what the online calculator says. So it's way below a microwatt, but there it is. It is power. There is actual, when I'm S9, I'm actually producing a power dissipation in your equipment there.
To give you an appreciation of how near I'm approaching the limits of the radio itself with this advanced beverage antenna system and my low environment of noise here in the neighborhood, combined with the low noise in the house, if I unplug the coaxial cable from receiver 2, the resting noise floor is negative 143. I tried shorting it with a resistor. I didn't have 50 ohms. I only had something like 180, so I know the match wasn't right, and it still just stayed mainly around negative 143 dBm. Maybe if I had 50 ohms, I could get it to go just a tad lower. But then again, the resistor would probably, like an external antenna, might balance out. Less jumping around, at least. It was more of an average with the resistor in. But, when I start this thing up, the pop receiver typically defaults at negative 200 dBm, which is phony baloney. It's really not there. It's just to let you know that it's starting up. And the bottom receiver, as you know, does the same, except during a flake-out mission where it reads negative 233 dBm. Over.
Yeah, WB4AIO. Hey, let me play this for you because reception was particularly good at the beginning of this transmission.
I also say that I tried doing the math last night, but I was so tired that I couldn't think straight. And the math is this. How does one determine that S9 is equal to 73 dBm? I used Ohm's law, the power equation, and all that, and I was coming up with something like 0.00001. And I just, like I said, was too tired to even think it through. Maybe it's by definition or something, an evolution. And, I am thinking it might come out to be something not exactly 73, like maybe 73.145 or something. And I'd like to know exactly what it is mathematically. I am a purist, you know.
Okay, there you go, Mr. Purist. The meter on the... on the Power SDR software, though, does not read out in fractions of a decibel. You'll just have to be satisfied with integral decibels, WB4AIO.
Roger, N2IRJ. So what do you think? This antenna system is so good, being able to get me down to negative 134 dBm, that I'm only 10 dB above the radio's limit. So... even if I could make a better antenna system, the best I could do is get another 10 dB out of it, and hopefully that wouldn't degrade the receiving peaks. If I could do that, I could squeak out another 10 dB, and that's about it. This radio is going to stop me because of its own limitation, but it's so, so much better than what normal ham radios have that I really feel special. Of course, this is in the 25 hertz bandwidth. You're not going to see that up on 4 kilohertz of bandwidth. And where I did test there too, I know what 2.5, 4.0, and 7.5 generally give. And I will say this though, during the morning on 75, that is the best time. That's when there's the best signal to noise ratio when W1AW is on. And I can say this, and it is truth, I can go to 4KC bandwidth and observe an honest 3/4 to 1 S unit. In other words, I'm just barely touching one S unit. That's how quiet it is, and it's full 4KC bandwidth, and I'm still getting W1AW in the vicinity of 20 dB over that. I mean, seeing that meter swing from S1 up to positive 20 is oh so sweet. And the proof of the pudding, you look on Audacity, and as I said the other day, the center line looks like a piece of tissue paper. That's how thin it is. Over.
Wow, that's really cool. Cool. I have an idea, though. You could reduce the noise coming from the antenna even further if you put a 1 megohm resistor in series with the antenna lead. That would reduce it even further. Over.
You're saying that the currents are so low, the 1 meg really wouldn't hurt my peak signal, but it would take off the instantaneous hash from lightning strikes, things like that. Over.
No, it would hurt the signal, but it would make the noise one heck of a lot lower. Probably you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference between no antenna and antenna with a 1 megohm series resistor.
Oh, this early in the morning, you're descending upon me levitude. Is that it?
I don't know. It sounds serious to me. The goal, who cares about signals? The goal is to get the noise down.
I meant to say levity, excuse me. Well, you know, that's real nice, but I would like to receive signals, too. In fact, speaking of ratios, I have a question. I did experiment with this, and I sort of have come to my own answer, but I'll run it by you. In my never-ending quest for perfection in audio, the question comes up, the CRL, if I crank it back, you have educated me now that it's a volume control. It's not what I had thought. I thought it was just clipping the peaks more or less. That's determined instead by the left, further left knob that can't be moved unless you have a pair of pliers, which I still don't like. But anyway, is it better in terms of signal-to-noise ratio to reduce it at that point and crank the potentiometer up out back? Or is it better to run the CRL higher and then crank back the pot in the rear? Or is it a wash? Do you still have the identical signal-to-noise ratio? The only thing is, if you did it the secondary way, you would be possibly overdriving it on the air. Over?
Well, it would affect the way the air signal sounded, because it would affect the drive into your Power SDR software, and so therefore you'd be changing things. In other words, it would be just like changing the mic level control. So you really, once you get it right, you really don't want to mess with that once you get it right. And if you want to change Audacity, it's better to change Audacity with its own level control or with that pot out and back, which determines what feeds Audacity. But the pot out and back does not affect what Power SDR sees. However, basically it's a wash. I mean, it takes the signal up or down, and at the same time the noise level goes up and down, because I mean theoretically, I guess with the output level higher, you'd have less of the internal noise of the output amplifier, but the internal noise of the output amplifier is so low it's not a factor. The noise you're dealing with is background noise from the room and background noise from the first stage in the mixer, the first amplifier and the microphone preamplifier. That's where almost all of your noise is coming from. It's either ambient noise in the room or the mic preamp noise. The noise in the output amplifier of the CRL, which would vary somewhat with the setting, is so low that you'll never, ever hear it, and you'll never tell the difference. So basically, your answer is that it's a wash. WB4AIO.
This is N2IRJ, Jax, New Jersey. What I will do is run down the list. Not to freak you out, make you feel snowed, like Snowden, but to mentally prepare you, it's something that you can think about here and there. It'll pop into your mind. And my mind at least works better that way. Even when I'm not thinking about something, subconsciously it's working, and I come up with the answers. It might be a week later or two or a month, but it's really neat. I just put it into my brain, and as I go about my daily business, my brain is actually working. I'll say this. Remember I said to you about bandwidth on the notch filters, and how I determined that you sort of dilute yourself? I have proven this the past couple hours. I've been experimenting, and here's what I found, that if you put a notch in of 25 hertz on a carrier, it's just as good as 100 hertz. I mean, eventually, if you make it wide enough, you start seemingly make it even quieter, you know, because you're just depressing other frequencies as well. But it seems like there's no way to increase the weighting of it more than just hitting times three, you know, the three choices they give you. So my question is there any way we can get in there and modify it instead of a times three, like make it like a times six or something? That would be neat. Over.
No, there's no adjustment for that. So you can't do that with PowerSDR software. I suppose it's mathematically possible to do such a thing if you could access the source code and you knew how to do programming in whatever programming language they use, which I believe is some variant of C. You could do it, but with the controls that are offered to the user, you cannot do it. But I don't know exactly what the depth of a times three notch is, but it's so deep I can't even imagine wanting one deeper.
Yes, it's pretty decent. I was nulling WWV. I was offsetting them 1,000 hertz, making a heterodyne, and then trying to null. And I'm pretty satisfied, and I've become educated in it, too. And like I said, being educated means using ESC where you need to null a noise, or using the beverage when it's to your advantage to listen that way and have a better signal-to-noise ratio. And as I said, even that WA1OXT, who's on the broadside of my beverage, in theory, you would think that, oh my, he certainly would have a degraded signal-noise ratio. Uh-uh. He's actually still 2 dB better than if I listened to him on the vertical. How about that? So this beverage antenna should not be underestimated. These clean, low-noise antennas are beautiful. Of course, if you're westward, that's all the more beautiful because the amplitude is up there. Incidentally, that HCJB station I have not been able to hear for days and make a comparison from my vertical to my beverage. And I've been up all night, too, so it's not like I missed anything. Over.
Well, you don't need to be up all night to hear HCJB sign off, because I think they sign off at something like 2 in the morning Eastern time, so they're just gone until this evening.
Yeah, we'll find out what happens there. More information to report. As you know, several days ago, we started DPC settings, the trackers, the counters, and we made that change, you know, up the front end to 2048, you know, max. Give as much buffering as possible. And here's the outcome. The first few hours, it was settled down to like under 400. The first day, it settled down to under 700. I'll say it was like 701, the absolute max. Day two, settled down, 701. And it stayed that way for days. It was beautiful. I figured, you know what? We have achieved a new breakthrough. And then time intervened. About 4 days passed, and as of last night, somewhere in the dark, here's what happened. Max DPC 5,942. All of those days, like 3 days in a row, day and night, it kept saying, oh, you can do normal mode, you don't need safe one, you don't need safe two, especially life is good and trustworthy. But it was a false sense of security. Again, if you let this thing run long enough, it gets upset. And I can give you the specifics. Up in, for the first 3 days, the absolute highest hit was in the 700 zone, which namely was 701. And then it started getting corrupted last night a little, gave me two counts in the 800 zone. And then it skipped a lot, gave me one hit in the 3,000 zone, one hit in the 5,000 zone, and finally one hit in the 10,000 zone. And that's what triggered me off to say safe mode 2. Well, I didn't say it, the program says it. And, you know, in that DPC latency checker for the internet in general, it says, man, don't go over 1,000. That's yellow zone. You know, danger zone starts at 4,000. And that's even pushing it. It really should go that high in the first place. Flex claims that you can get up to 4,000 and their radio won't freak out. But I'm well beyond that. I'm up to 6,000 for rounded numbers, government work, you know. So it's now in your lap. You have permission to explain to me where do we go from here, N2IRJ.
I don't know. I'd have to study what background processes are running on your computer. I have no idea. All I will say is it doesn't seem to be causing any problems in the operation, as long as you're in safe mode too. So probably, really, you don't have to do anything. But my guess is it's some operating system process. What process, I don't know, but something that runs in the background. Maybe it's Windows Update, but you want Windows Update to operate. So I don't know if it's possible to cause Windows Update to only operate during specified times, or if you can't do that. I don't know. I'll have to look into it. I just don't know off the top of my head. And it might have nothing to do with Windows Update. It might be some other process that's operating in the background. You've eliminated some. But I would say basically you have no problems and you really don't have to do anything. Everything is working fine. And so far, no LA effect. So the LA effect seems to be gone. And I'm assuming, although time will tell, I guess, but you know, if it goes for another week and then another month and we don't get the LA effect when ESC is on, I would say we've solved that problem by increasing the buffer size and just leave it at the higher setting, and maybe the LA effect will never happen again. I'm going to have to go in a few minutes, so just warning that I said I would be gone briefly, and I've got someone I must return to in a little while, so wanted to let you know in advance that we've been on for an hour, so I don't want to be on too much longer. WB4AIO.
Yes, since a certain entity is a kitty cat, you have my permission to pet the head 3 times and say that's for me. I like kitty cats. I have 40 items just about, and I'll be real fast. I'll do it in segments as to not keep it down so long. But what I want to do is, at your place, go into the garage and use tape, masking tape or something, a red piece of tape, and just mark what can go. And then on your own, you can just...
Into IRJ.
Throw it away at your convenience. Next, we spoke of the notch filter here. There is another problem, and that is it changes, it shifts. You can't trust it, especially if you have multiple notches. And I've even tried hitting that remember function or some nomenclature like that. Doesn't matter. If you switch to double, put on ESC, or you just, talking in general, it'll shift on you. It doesn't stay latched. So that's another problem that we need to look into. I want to eventually put current and voltage gauges onto the Densi Lambda and, of course, hook that up. I'm going to be hooking up the water softener, maybe central vacuum cleaners in Johnstown, in my mom's place, and possibly another place too, which would be very beneficial to a certain person I know. Hire a professional cleaning crew before the time runs out. On that Densi Lambda HWS15000-15. I'm thinking, did I put an extra zero in there? Is it really 15,000? What is it, 1,500? We'll say 15,000 for now. Yeah, I want to get the terminals that go on there exactly, if possible. Otherwise, we'll just have to improvise. And, of course, I wanted to try that remote sensing. I want to make the current Astron current meter cut in half. I want to order a new meter from them that only goes up half as much. I, as you know, don't load the supply all that much. I don't intend to. And I'd like to see more metering action than what I have now. It's just limp lame, mostly at the bottom. I want to replace the cracked voltmeter. And I want to convert the Ameritron head to LEDs. That might require making a new sheet metal case in the rear, and I want to mount it to this rack system through these grating holes that will face me. It'll look really nice. It'll be convenient. It'll be wonderful. I want to mount the Ameritron head, like I said, on this rack, and that's the first sector. And then on key, it'll tell you a few more packets before you need to go. N2IRJ.
Yeah. N2IRJ, WB4AIO. I don't understand what you mean about the notches not staying. Do you mean they just disappear, or do you mean they change in frequency? And if so, how much?
They change in frequency several hundred hertz. It misses. And in fact, here's another thing. If you hold it long enough and it goes into the enhanced mode of where it's a blow-up, and then you can supposedly very accurately home in on it. I mean, you can really see a beautiful blown up view of what the carrier peak looks like. It's not correct. It does not correspond to reality. What's on the panoramic adapter, even though it's smaller, is reality. If you go by that, your ear tells you where the true carrier point is, the heterodyne. You can minimize. If you go by the expanded version, it is wrong. The audio level will come up significantly, even though pictorially it says that you're doing right. In reality, you're doing wrong. And I don't like that contradiction into IRJ.
Well, I don't think you can do anything about that. That's because there are only so many bins. The panoramic adapter is based on bins, and the bins are at fixed frequencies, and so the peak that you see of the interfering carrier is to the nearest bin. And the nearest bin isn't necessarily, especially when you look at it in that microscope mode, the nearest bin is not necessarily the exact frequency, so you have to go by your ear. The readout of the microscope version will show a peak at the nearest bin, but that's as close as the software can get. It can't get any closer than that. But once you set it, it shouldn't move. Mine never move, and I'm using the same software you are, WB4AIO.
On the subject of software, later on my mental list here, I speak of experimenting with the new version, but I want to find out if I'm going to lose my settings. If so, this time I swear to you I'm going to write them down because I work too hard, they're too valuable, and I don't want to lose them. But if it's possible to do an upgrade to a later version, maybe some of these problems will go away, even though they have not been published over the air in the SDR forum. And if we can rely on this restoration point I created like an hour ago, then that's beautiful too. So I might as well ask you that now, even though it's later on down in the list, and that is, can I experiment with a later version? And if I do, am I going to lose the settings I have? I will have to manually input everything again. Over.
Well, I don't know what you'll lose. You may lose some and not others. My experience in upgrading from 2.35 to 2.53 is that I lost some settings because they changed the way they were configured in the software, and therefore it could not retain them. And therefore it retained some and not others, and I suspect the same thing will happen if you upgrade to a higher version above 2.53. I don't recommend changing it because they made some changes in the FireWire drivers. It's going to disconnect your current drivers, add other drivers. It's really a pain. And every single change, there are not, as far as I know, there are not any undocumented changes. Every single change is documented in the release notes for 2.64 and 2.72, and I reviewed them carefully, and it really looks like there's nothing of any significance that's going to help you. So my advice is don't do it, just because it's going to be a lot of trouble and may introduce its own problems, and really the benefits, if any, I don't even remember what they are, but I looked them over and it looked like nothing of real significance. However, all you have to do is go on to Google or some other search engine and type in Power SDR 2.6.4 release notes, and then also look at Power SDR 2.7.2 release notes, and you'll see a list of every single change. They'll all be listed, WB4AIO.
Well, if you think they can be trusted, I feel a bit more confident then. But, I do have certain ongoing defects here I don't like. As you know, that preamp thing turning itself off and on at weird times, and I have to sneak up, like the 2 megacycles, and turn it off, and then only then I can go down into the broadcast band, and sometimes it plays that game up around 10 meters. It forces itself on, even though I didn't push the button. It forces me into preamp. I guess they figure that high in frequency, you should have it on. And they are right. It turns out, as you know, we did that experiment here, even down on 75 meters, that far down, and it's to our advantage. It makes the S meter read lower, but the audio comes up, and the signal-to-noise ratio is better. So how can you argue with that? I mentioned this the other day. I don't need an answer this second, of course, but it's that signal shaping question, the weight and the ramp in milliseconds. The ramp is set to 5 default milliseconds. The weight is 50. whatever the hell that means. There are no units with it. So at some future time, I'd like to learn about that. Over.
Well, in order to teach you, I'd have to learn about it myself, but I'm quite sure it has something to do with the shape of the CW waveform. If you make it too hard of a switching characteristic, you'll have key clicks. If you make it too soft of a keying characteristic, it will smear the dits at very high speeds. So, you know, it's a compromise between those two things, bandwidth and clarity, WB4AIO.
Well, on the subject of that stuff, attack time and rise and fall, I was speaking to an audio engineer, supposedly, from WBZ. He claims that you're right about 2 milliseconds being a sweet spot if you're playing music. He claims that if you're more narrow-banded, such as single sideband, 1 microsec is actually better. What do you think of that? Over.
Well, not only do I think he's wrong, but I think it's the opposite of the truth, and it's not microseconds, it's milliseconds, WB4AIO.
Yeah, after I said it, I got the thing, yeah, milliseconds. Yeah, micro would really be splitting here. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, someday we can talk about why that is, the engineering, if it should go the opposite direction or something. I know you'll say, leave well enough alone, let it at 2, but I have experimented, and so far my ear hasn't been able to tell a difference, but that was before I got this really good receiving antenna. Now I might be able to. Over.
Now, what you're going to notice if you switch it to 1 millisecond is you're going to notice that the AGC does not sound smooth and even to the ear. The AGC will sound abrupt, and the voices will have a slight raggedness to it. I can definitely hear it, even just changing it from 2 milliseconds to 1 millisecond. The narrower the bandwidth, the more you should be able to slow it down, though. The guy's got, it's the opposite of the truth. The more narrow-banded you are, the slower the rise time will be. Therefore, you should be able to slow it down even more. Instead of 2, you should be able to slow it to 4. But the problem is, with 4, is you're going to get lots more overshoot, and there's really no benefit. Believe me, I have a good ear for such things. There's no benefit in perceived audio quality by slowing it down to 4, and yet you get more overshoot, so it's just a lose-lose situation. 2 is really, in power SDR, 2 milliseconds, which is the factory setting, is really the sweet spot for the sound of the audio and the control of the AGC. It just works beautifully.
If Flex wanted to be more versatile, then they should have allowed an incremental compensation with respect to frequency then. Whenever you made a profile of transmitter receive, you should have been able to independently select the attack, the rise and fall. I know that's more complicated, but then you could have the benefit of having a lower number on the attack, say 1 millisecond if you're at 10 kc, and then if you're down to 2.5, maybe you could, you know, skew it the other way. What do you think of that idea? The best of all worlds, progression.
Well, as far as I know, there simply is no link between the receive bandwidth and the AGC. The AGC is set by the AGC parameters, and it's not controlled by the receive bandwidth. In fact, I don't think anything except the receive bandwidth is controlled by the receive bandwidth controls. Furthermore, the receive bandwidth buttons are just conveniences, so you don't have to drag the things around all the time. The real bandwidth control is continuously variable, and since it's continuously variable, it would be hard to make that linked with the AGC, which is not a continuously variable function. So I don't know. I don't think there's any real benefit. 2 milliseconds for maybe you'd want a separate setting for CW. I don't know. I don't work CW. But for voice, 2 milliseconds is what you want in any bandwidth.
Yes, when you enter the world of CW, things do change enough. I did find that out. It is true. Even though I salute our custom settings so much for SSB, your setting really is better than even the slow setting from the factory. When it comes to W1AW, it also depends upon the time of day. If I do it at night, I need to go with medium. If I do it in the early morning where there's a better signal-noise ratio and a more stable band, then fast is actually better without any negative effects. Again, you need to be a very smart amateur radio operator, and then if you're empowered by having an advanced radio, how's the phrase go? The world is your oyster? Okay, moving on. I don't know what this means, but I have a note here, something about big notch off from bottom. Don't know what that means, but it reminds me of something else. You're studying that needs to be done over time to educate me. Besides the other stuff you said you need to read up on, the ESC stuff I need to be educated better about in the future, you know, the angle and the phase and all that stuff you tried telling me the other day. I was under the wrong impression that I could determine incoming angle and all those other fallacies. I need to be straightened out there big time and maybe have it reiterated several times, and then I'll really truly understand. I want to install the Rubidium standard. I want to tell you this problem, that whenever I key to transmit as I am now, there's a very minor low-level hum in the headphones during transmitting in my headset. Would like to investigate that. Let's see, I have a Lift Henrietta's resonant choke and install cooler blown. Oh yeah, downstairs, as you know, there's that resonant choke that gets way too hot, and in the production version they had a fan there, thanks to me telling them that it needed it. Well, I never did it myself, and I'm telling you that enamel is going to break down if it already hasn't, and it's going to blow out. Man, that's a pretty ugly short circuit when that happens, an expensive one too, blows things out. So I want to float it, and I also have a special blower upstairs that I'd like to have you hook up there to cool it constantly. Also, I want to get that copper compound immediately for cleansing my roof of the mold. Time is running out. Need to know the name. I mean, I probably could search on my own on the internet. You know, that stuff existed 22 years ago. That's how I knew it was a copper compound. Back in those days, it was sold right at the home garden center, you know. So it's only in recent times, maybe the last 10, 15 years, where the New Jersey government must have banned it. I want to replace burnout light bulbs in the house, as you know, downstairs. Maybe I need to find a ladder for that. Ideally, even outside, getting those quartz halogens replaced. I want you to install a CW decoding program, like the one I found for the Apple on a Lark. I was just messing around, and that is the one, by the way, that allowed me to generate my original CW for my Morse code ID on amateur radio. And I'd like to be able to do the same, except this program needs to be better. As you know, the one I had flaws. The tone wasn't pure. It got on Vic's nerves. Maybe that wasn't the only reason, but again, I want a pure tone, and I wanted to decode. The damn one on the Apple was so primitive that it had trouble. Even if I had the signal-noise ratio perfect, it just missed letters and screwed up. Want to get the kerosene jugs filled for the generator? You're just the man to do that. Make a lot of runs to the gas station and carry those jugs, baby. And I want audio in the bedroom for Laura. We've talked about this before. She already has the ability to receive, but what about transmit? When I talk, she can't hear me. If it's too big of a mission, though, we can do a workaround. I mean, I don't want to be unreasonable. Character map, ID test it. You got to come here and save me from that. Maybe import some of those links you gave me so that I can more deal with what I'm used to, such as the Apple. If I want Greek letters, I click on that, I get it. If I want to put an accent over the A in the word Bogota in Spanish, I can do that too. And I also want to respect the French language. I'm almost done with my list. I'm down to the last dozen. N2IRJ, over.
Oh my God, I thought I'd be gone by 8:30, and I'm not. You still have a dozen more. It sounds like it's enough work for many trips. I don't know what I can do about the character map. I think you just have to learn to use it. Maybe I can help you learn to use it. I know there's a way of looking at different groups of characters, like you look at mathematical characters, then you look at different foreign language characters. I forget how to do it, though, because basically what I've done is there's only like a half dozen special characters that I ever use, and I've just memorized the alt codes for those characters, and I never have to deal with the character map. But whatever, go on with the next dozen.
Yeah, well, you could download that to me, and I could just go in drafts and look at this cross-reference chart, and I would be willing to do that, at least if there was some semblance of sanity. Next item, It's not PSK-232, but it's some other name, maybe PSK-31? It's that thing whereby you can type in it with your keyboard. It's interfaced with the amateur radio.
Into IRJ.
And then someone else can hear you far away, even though you're beneath the noise floor. It's what Pat does with his best friend, Mikey, who has since moved out of Jackson. He lives down south these days. But he'd work with us. He's the one who climbs Pat's tower. He comes up from time to time. In fact, he was here the time that I totaled my car into a tree. And he was with Pat when they came to rescue me that rainy, dark night. He's a nice guy. He's the one that performs a public service whenever the electric company doesn't deal with their polluting streetlights and there's an upcoming contest. It turns out that the streetlights go away completely. And I think you can read between the lines. Okay, try new SDR software that might allow sub-receiver button to work. As you know, I am plagued with the problem of on the sub-receiver, the top middle one. You did concede you think it's a software flaw too. Yeah, last night this morning when I was trying to reset things and rename things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work no matter what kind of somersaults I do. In Johnstown, I need you to conduct a sewer pressure test at my mother's. I'm even thinking that maybe I should have it done up at the other location and have that replaced while there's still money. And I'm scared to even look to find out if there is any left, and I have to pay myself. And, of course, someone else is behind in payments, and I never do get money back. So, yeah, that would be a good thing if we could move in that direction before it's too late. It's getting almost there. So that's why I'm sort of panicking. I need money for my teeth. I really do. I'm telling you, $7.50 for the last two teeth the other day. And the mouth has 32 teeth, mind you, so you can do the math. And then, of course, on top of that, dentures. Oh, my God. Need you to have the pipes resoldered. Get my mother's, put in heat tape, not in some lazy fashion either. It needs to be very tightly wrapped perfectly, and maybe some heat transfer compound on it even. And then on top of that, you put this putty and wrap it well, and man, you never have a problem after that. Great heat transfer right where it belongs into the copper pipes. And I will say thank you again for the secret surprise you did in my engine compartment. I noticed that many months ago, and I've been meaning to tell you that apparently you went back out there at a later date and used the black tape, electrical tape, to neaten it. It really does look neat. It's stronger. Hallelujah for that. Number 12, repair all toilets. As you know, we have a major problem here about that. Need to replace the valves. I want you to order six conventional wall warts for the Panasonic cordless phones. I believe they're 12.12 volts. I can give the amperage later. Previously gave you the information, but I can gladly get that again. There are a few other polluting ones here, such as Lars Kindle and all that. I can get you the specs on that later. But just, again, this is a mental mindset kind of thing where we can prioritize and do it, but not let it go on forever. That's stressful when too much of life gets out of control. If we corral this in, I'll be doing much better. N2IRJ, number 9, this is a low priority, but a program that allows you to remotely view and control my PC. I would also like to possess that power, too, to do it to someone else if need be. Physical circuit to monitor line voltage to the Audacity, low priority there, but it will be neat to do one day. Way before that, I would like to be able to do the phone patch over the new VoIP, but boy, do I detest this idea of having to do it by way of, one way, speakerphone. Boy, does that stink. Advice, guidance about the expander plugin for Audacity. You already gave me that, but I need a training session to understand how to use it. Fantasy circuits, laugh out loud. It would permit a speaker output workaround to let me record the AM from my short recorder, whatever you call it. That, I think, probably will be so difficult that we can just ignore that. But, again, in the background, if one day you get an awakening, you know, that so-called aha moment that our friend Oprah Winfrey speaks about. Okay, number 5, a circuit to perfectly record phone calls at N2IRJ after I switched to VoIP with Optimum Online. The system should permit the same on-air flexibility as with the Briar Patch. We already talked about that. saying it can't be done, it would have to be one way, you know. That is disgusting. I want full duplex. And I want to learn how to enter data into Wikipedia. Topics might include CODAR and how I once had ownership in WPBB, and I'm not getting any credit on there for that. Incidentally, Dr. Ward, Dave Ward, my friend, Paul College professor in Johnstown, I went to Watkins Glen with him and all that, his radio station up WGMF, that's the one where they built a log cabin at the base of the transmitter tower, and he'd take me up there, and it was really neat, a brand new, very expensive log cabin, perfectly furnished. It was for the wealthy, the few owners of the station. They could go there anytime they wanted. Of course, they never bothered, so that meant that Ward and I could take it over and have a good old time there and then go to the races at Watkins Glen. The one year I won, and by the way, I told you it was 77. It really turned out to
be
78. I was 1 year off. Getting down to the last three, I want the ability to circumvent the YouTube restrictions about Gmail. Perhaps there's some benign way to reactivate my original email address at Gmail, but you said, no, that's not possible. Cool. We can make a new one and circumvent it somehow, I hope. And you know about what I think about the control freaks at YouTube from watching Trek. I even sent to you that specific episode. Probably you didn't check it out. Whom Gods Destroy. There's nothing whatsoever obscene about it, and yet they block it. And, you know, I must prove them old enough. You know, I don't know how to do that even. And, of course, I don't want the vulnerability of giving them back doors or information they don't deserve to have. You know, their theme of subservience pisses me off. Number two, we're almost at the end, N2IRJ here. I want the ability to edit YouTube videos and post links of the excerpts. I could easily put that link on our webpage. Not on the webpage, per se, but at least in our secret location. You know, that way if I wanted to show somebody, say, take him to Detroit, I could edit it in such a way that it's serious, but it's not irreverent, like the beginning of cutting the guy's head off and all that, but it could start with, you know, the backdrop of a dictator torturing prisoners, which is better. I could run it long enough so you could hear the last screams. The ones that exist on YouTube are either too early or they go too late. They're not edited properly. And that's an important subject for people to understand. I even mentioned it on the LibertyNet, take him to Detroit, and nobody bit. You know, I sent that email to Vic and others, and I guess the version they see on YouTube is unimpressive, but if I edited it properly, I could, I think, get people to understand what it means to take him to Detroit. Lastly, I want the ability to record SDR live video, audio, and send the data filed by email. Of course, it could also be posted in our secret location, you know, not necessarily on 3950Net for the people to see. I mean, it's fine if they do, but I don't want to clutter up the site. I like it the way you're running it now. And possibly post the link at our website if you really think it's applicable, you know, if it has something important to do with the survival of a genetic line that deserves to survive and so forth. Okay, I've covered it all. That is the mental seedling. Those are the mental seedlings to plant and cogitate on, and then we will intelligently and systematically, you know, harvest them once those beautiful plants of possibility grow. N2IRJ.
Wow, it sounds like it's enough for 20 trips. I don't know. It's going to be a long time before all of those are accomplished. Some of them might be better for you to accomplish with a little training from me instead of me doing them all. But nevertheless, I do have some thoughts before I go. Number one, the program to record the full motion window of Power SDR along with sound is, I know it exists because Rob W1AEX does that regularly, but it's not going to produce files that are small enough to be sent via email. You can forget that. Probably the best thing to do, it will produce large video files. And the best way to handle it would be for you to establish a YouTube account. And when you want to make one public, you just publish it to YouTube. And that way anybody can go to YouTube and watch it. Secondly, video editing is a rather complex thing, and you'd have to learn it, and you'd have to learn some rather complex software. to do it properly, and I don't really think you want to do that. Probably the best thing to do would be to learn how to embed YouTube videos in a way where you can, or send a link to a YouTube video where you can specify where, at what point on the timeline they would begin watching. It is possible to do that with YouTube. You don't need to edit anything. You just, within YouTube itself, you can get a link. You can create a link that will cause the person, when he clicks the link, to begin seeing the video at 2 minutes and 39 seconds into it, or whatever. That's probably the best solution to that. And lastly, on the telephone, the landline telephone and VoIP is really the same as a landline telephone in one respect. It's one line. It's everything is superimposed on everything else, and they use very crude hybrids in the handset and in the phone that drives the handset. They use very crude transformer-based hybrids to cut down on the volume of the side tone. Otherwise, your own voice would be 10 times as loud as the other person's voice. So they do cut it down, but they don't eliminate it, and it's probably impossible to eliminate it. So if you want full duplex, it's going to seriously corrupt your audio quality. You're going to have, along with your own voice, you're going to have side tone from your own voice, and that side tone will be very restricted sounding. It will not sound good. It'll sound telephonic. And if you want full duplex, you've got to tolerate that mixed in with the caller's voice. You'll have a side tone of your own voice, and it will, whenever you switch to the patch, all of a sudden you will sound like you're on the telephone too. And that was would, in my opinion, be very, very bad. Far better to just tolerate simplex and use the speakerphone, and that way when you talk, the patch produces no audio. It's just your local mic. And when the other guy talks, it's telephonic. Of course, that can't be avoided. So that's my opinion on that. Unless you want to tolerate a horrible telephonic side tone, you cannot have full duplex on a phone line. WB4AIO.
I do concur. So we can move forward in that in the proper time, of course. I want to say there are other priorities, such as erecting this new DLD, or maybe an inverted U, but whatever is done, it needs to be done in a robust way that can survive hurricanes. And confer with Pat, me, I'll order any rope ahead of time, and we'll integrate it with everything else that needs to be done. But to just get further and further behind with winter's approach, that worries me. Right now is a beautiful season. From here on out, the mosquitoes are down. It's not too hot. I mean, it's a beautiful working environment. Don't want to let that go to waste. Only get that once a year. I will say this. Yeah, you don't want me to be overwhelmed in learning about video editing. But if I learn little by little, which means I guess you'll have to learn little by little to teach me, I want to know. I want to learn. It's better. My mind does need to be expanded. I've already done so on my own. You didn't maybe know this, but I revisited what you tried teaching me about Audacity, inserting silence. I am able to do that now, even though I thought I'd have to call you for extra help. I figured it out on my own. Plus, I figured out a couple of other things, such as fading it, fading out longer duration. They call it studio fade out. The dummies should have specified what it really meant, that it's a long fade out. I had to experiment to figure that out, to find that out. It's just like Skype and their great grammar. It says, put something like put their voice here or something, and it should say put his or her voice here. But once again, they say there. It really ticks me off. I mean, the world sees that. And, I mean, these computer geeks are just that. I mean, they failed English 101, FFF. They might know something about their little realm of manipulating ones and zeros, but other than that, they're very shallow entities. I almost called them individuals or persons, but as much as I like what they do, man, they really tick me off with their shallowness in terms of their linguistic abilities and their caring about such things. I want to tell you this, another thing that I have been trying to educate myself about, but I do need your help. That is the CorelDRAW. It's not really that. It's the analog of it. Whatever other company you gave me, I go there, and I have played around with the text version of it. Open Office, I guess, but even that I screw up. I need help there. Eventually, if I get good with that, then I will progress to step 2, where I'm able to graphically superimpose numbers onto my screen capture graphs instead of my ugly writing, you know, 1, 2, and 3 that I do with the mouse, then I can just boldly implant, imprint the number 1, 2, 3 plus our official arrow that looks beautiful. Yeah, I want to learn how to do that. Over.
Well, what I would advise you to do for now is just play around with GIMP, the name of the program that allows you to do superimpositions on image files is GIMP, G-I-M-P, and I put it on your computer and it is working. So all you have to do is probably read the user manual. It will tell you how to superimpose a text on top of, I don't know about arrows, but it certainly will tell you how to superimpose text on top of any image file, and it's probably pretty easy to do. So even if you can't find it in the user manual, just experiment with the text tool. Just mess with it. Just play with it and see what it does, and eventually you'll figure it out. Another thing you could do is just type into Google search box how to superimpose text on a picture with GIMP, and you'll probably find tutorials that people have written online. So you could do that after you get some sleep today. And to IRJ, WB4AIO, and I've got to go in a minute.
And to IRJ, our timing coincides. That's fine because I'm down to the last subject. I'm going to speak in a staccato way right now. There is a reason. I want you to evaluate the recovery of my noise floor. You can let me know if you hear any background noise from the PC. How is the transition? Is it smooth? I will await your response on that. And let me finalize with a YouTube comment. Here it is. I already thought of what you suggested, and that is to just limit it between two certain times on a particular YouTube. That would work if YouTube were long enough to include everything. Then I could just truncate it in the beginning and the end. Life would be simple. But here's the problem. There are two videos. They need to be combined, or I need to go to the original source. Yeah, that would work. If I could go to the original source, then I could do what you said. I could edit it the way I want. But here's the problem. I cannot go to the original source. Why? Because I cannot prove my age. It's, I guess, considered to be adult material. Just like that Star Trek episode about the gods. So again, we're back to that.
Into IRJ.
I've given you enough staccato before you make an evaluation about the fade out of my plate, the room ambiance, the female ID. So now I return it to you, and it looks like the ribbons are coming up really fast. Into IRJ, repeating, being redundant, even though the pretty girl already said that. Back to you.
At no time did I hear the background room noise. It probably exists, but I can't hear it. It's below the local noise here, so I simply can't hear it. I can't hear anything recovering. I hear silence. All I hear is my, you know, band noise and the, you know, local RF background noise. I do not hear your computer. And in fact, the last transmission, your voice is so ragged, and I suspect maybe it's also weak, although the compressor is keeping it at a good level. It's also so weak now, your voice is weakened, that I can't hear the plate reverb anymore. When you first came on, your voice was robust, and I guess it was triggering the reverb to a point where I could hear it. But now your signal's dropped a little bit, which may be a factor. But mainly, I think your voice has gotten very ragged. It sounded like you had a horrible frog in your throat for most of that transmission, and also it probably is weak enough where it's just not triggering the reverb enough for me to hear it. Over.
Correct. My throat's giving out. It really is, and I can't control it. It has to do, I think, I'm being facetious with 3 days lack of sleep and the pain and all the other stuff. But on the good side, I actually feel better not having that infection working at me. So even though I have trauma, lack of sleep, and pain, it's a welcome substitute for what I had before, namely the infection. Do you think that I should crank the reverb up ever so slightly, in which case it wouldn't be excessive during good band conditions, but it would sort of put a little icing on the cake for conditions right now? How did you like it when you did hear it compared to right now when you can't hear it? And by the way, the reason I asked about the recovery, the staccato stuff, which I'm doing again, is because I, in changing back the settings to have more bass and everything, I had to increase the microphone gain. As a result, I was afraid that I was going to pick up the background, but thank heavens I have not. I want to say this. This hum I spoke of, like right now when I have a key down, I'm talking to you and I hear the hum in my headsets. It's very minor, mind you, but it's there. It has nothing to do with feedback from the microphone. I can physically turn off the button on this microphone. Hardcore shut off. It makes no difference. It is not sound getting back in through that system. It's somehow being generated elsewhere. It's sort of analogous to that other hum low-level one that we partially corrected for with the transformer. Maybe it's somehow related to all that too, but I'll let you think about it. That's the purpose of this. We wanted to do a long on-air test to once and for all shake down, cruise this system. We did so. Beautiful feedback. It sounds like I look forward to your recording, and I'll let you make comment, and then I'll say bye, N2IRJ.
Okay, well, an experiment you might try, Marty. I cannot hear the hum on the air. It's totally not there as far as I can tell. But the experiment you might want to try is to transmit with turn off your vacuum tube linear amplifier. And it may be that there's a ground loop that involves the 240-volt power supply for that being on. Turn that off, turn off the vacuum tube linear amplifier completely, and then transmit and see if you still hear the hum in your headsets. And if you don't, then it's related to that old ground loop problem. If it doesn't change, then there's some new ground loop problem. I tell you, the whole system is so complex, and it does use unbalanced connectors at some points, that it's really hard to totally eliminate ground loops. I hate unbalanced audio. But I guess in the world we live in, we're going to have to deal with it from time to time. I've got to go. 73. Good luck in the contest, and we'll attack some of those problems the next time we see one another. N2IRJ, WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus, 73.
Yeah, unbalanced was forced upon me, as you know. I preemptively conducted the investigation. The results doesn't matter about the tube amp, doesn't matter about the Ameritron solid state. The hum is there. It's intrinsic to the Behringer, the Flex, whatever. It's somewhere in there. And it's a low-level one. I already know it's not going to be heard over the air, but it can be heard in my headset. So philosophically, I object to it. But even if we never fix it, I can live with it. And you didn't answer my question about the reverb. Over.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I think you could turn it up a slight amount. I think that would not be harmful. It was very, very subtle before, even when I could hear it. So I think a small amount of increase would be acceptable.
This is one notch clockwise increase. I want it to be tasteful. I don't want it to be obnoxious on the local recording, but the proper amount of accent is a good thing. I stayed up about 3 hours. I went from 0-0 on the Behringer up to 99. There goes my voice. Big time. And I would say on Audacity, this is setting number 1, and then number 2, and a 3. And boy, it was something like an 8-minute long recording before I got up to 99. And then I played it again and again and again. And on a piece of paper, I wrote the top 6 and then the top five, the top four. I whittled it down until I finally came upon this setting. It had to do with vowels and rise-fall time and accentuating the important part of a word. And I decided this was the best of the bunch. And you're corroborating that now. That's a good thing. N2IRJ.
Okay, Marty. Well, good to talk to you. And your signal is held up remarkably well, way past sunrise. Okay, N2IRJ in the salt flats of central New Jersey, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the old 1930s RCA antenna proving grounds where HF antennas were developed and invented back in the early days of radio. This is WB4AIO. That's WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus, home of AIO Labs, not too far from Beaverdale, Pennsylvania, transmitting to the millions from high in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, saying 73, good luck in the contest, and QSL via the Bureau.
Very colorful. Glad you say Bureau instead of Burrow or Burrow, as the foreigners would proclaim. You didn't comment if my increased special effects is noticeable. I can sure hear it in my headset. It's increased there, whether it's making it over there, the air. Number two, final thing, are you going to post on the Marty site this recording? I would like to hear myself, and it's not an emergency, of course, but when you get around to it, yeah, I will spend the time to listen, even though my voice is far from its freshest. N2IRJ.
Yeah, okay, I'll post it. I will post it, and I do hear the effects. It's subtle. It's fine, just the way it is.
In that case, you have my permission to carry on, live the day, love the day, and I'll do the same. Maybe starting with some sleep, I hope. N2IRJ clear. Bye.